I'm VOA's Joe Ramsey with your worldwide news update. A sharply divided America decides between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris as the candidates wait to find out who is the next president. AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
After voting in Florida, Trump was asked if Harris ends up with more votes, would he concede?
If I lose an election, if it's a fair election, I'd be the first one to acknowledge it.
He would also like to see the declaration of a winner soon.
This election should be over. They spend all this money on machines. And frankly, if they'd use paper ballots, it would be over by 10 o'clock.
Kamala Harris voted by mail. She stopped by DNC headquarters in Washington, where they were making calls.
Got to talk to voters.
All right, everybody.
Caroline. Hi, Carolyn. Hi, how are you?
This truly represents the best experience. Just reaching out to folks, letting them know that we're all in it together.
Trump will be at his home in Florida. Harris will be at a party at her alma mater, Howard University in Washington. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Election Day voting was largely smooth across the nation, with only scattered reports of delays from extreme weather, ballot printing errors, and technical problems. The relatively uneventful day of voting on Tuesday came after an election season marked by concerns over disinformation, foreign influence, and worrisome threats to election workers and voting systems. Helping reduce issues on Election Day was the fact that tens of millions of Americans had cast their ballots during the early voting period. The FBI on Tuesday afternoon said it was aware of multiple non-credible bomb threats to polling locations in several states and said many of them appeared to originate from Russian email domains. This is VOA News. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dismissed his popular defense minister, Yoav Gallant, in a surprise announcement that came as the country is embroiled in wars on multiple fronts across the region. AP correspondent Norman Hall reports.
The move sparked protests across the country, including Tel Aviv and near Netanyahu's home in Jerusalem. Gallant, a former general, had argued that military force has created the necessary conditions for at least a temporary diplomatic deal that could bring home hostages held by Hamas. But Netanyahu's hardline partners have threatened to bring down the coalition government if he makes concessions to Hamas. I'm Norman Hall.
A new report says Russia is, quote-unquote, flagrantly violating its agreements with the oil cartel OPEC by concealing the true amount of oil it is producing and selling, and the report says the profits are funding Moscow's war on Ukraine. Henry Ridgewell reports.
Eight members of the oil producers cartel OPEC Plus, including Russia, agreed last year to cut production in order to boost prices. But a new report from the Ukrainian Center for Defense Reforms says that Russia is deceiving OPEC. In the first 4 months of the year, Moscow exceeded its production quota by at least 2.5 million barrels per day, says report co-author Alexander Danieliuk.
It's about $60 billion US dollars per year. And it's also important because this is the money which are not seen by anyone. And obviously, this is extra funds Russia can use to support the war efforts in Ukraine.
The report claims Russia is concealing the true volume of oil sold to its two main customers, India and China, by listing a zero value for some of the supply contracts on customs declaration forms. Russia has not addressed accusations that it conceals oil sales from OPEC. Speaking at an energy forum in September, Russian President Vladimir Putin insisted his country was a reliable partner. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News.
Nigerian authorities have released 29 children who have been detained for over 2 months and potentially face the death penalty for their alleged participation in protests against the country's record cost of living crisis. The children, ages 14 to 17, looked excited and full of life on Tuesday as they waved to cameras after their release at a court in the capital, Abuja. Some parents denied their children's participation in demonstrations and interviews with the Associated Press. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Welcome to VOA's live coverage of the 2024 U.S. election, one of the most consequential in recent history. Tuesday was Election Day, and here it's still late Tuesday night. I'm Carol Van Dam, and with me tonight here in Washington is VOA Daybreak Africa host James Buddy. We will be joined by VOA reporters in battleground states with the latest, along with reporters at the headquarters for the presidential candidates and analysts. Millions of Americans went to the polls all day today, casting their ballots in an ever-so-close race for president between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. They're also deciding the balance of power in congressional races for U.S. Senate and House representatives, along with other hundreds of state and local races. Some 80 million people took part in early voting across the country. So far, we can say that early results reported by the Associated Press and other media showed Trump, the Republican Party candidate, has captured now 210, or it's now been just up this past minute to 214 Electoral College votes. The Democratic Party's flag bearer, Harris, has won 179 so far. The vote tallies are early. We want to remind you, and none of the battleground states, those are seven, have been called at this point. We were hoping to have Patty Whitaker-Squara, our White House bureau chief, on the line. We don't have her as yet, but we hope to have her later in the program. Let's turn to Trump headquarters in Florida, where Carolyn Presutti is standing by in West Palm Beach, not far from Trump's residence, Mar-a-Lago. Carolyn, who is our national correspondent, what's the mood like at Trump headquarters now that the polls in most states have closed? Oh, we don't have Carolyn either yet? Okay, we don't have Carolyn either yet. Oh, we will come back to both of our reporters at the headquarters for Trump and Harris, which I can imagine is a little crazy right now.
So let's go to VOA reporter Catherine Gibson, who is keeping tabs on election news from her perch here in Washington, D.C. Catherine, how has Election Day voting been going around the country? Have there been any major problems so far?
Do we have Catherine with us? No, Catherine is not with us either. Well, we're going to move on. One of the swing states that both former President Trump and Vice President Harris have crisscrossed repeatedly is Wisconsin. In the upper Midwest of this country, VOA's Kane Farabaugh is in the Wisconsin state capital, Madison, and hopefully he joins us now. Kane, what can you tell us about which issues have been important to Wisconsin voters that you've talked to? No, Kane? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we don't have Kane. We're going to be going back. We're going to be going back to our reporters once we get our technical difficulties resolved. James, let's you and I talk a little bit about what we've been seeing tonight. When you look at the VOA election, U.S. election map, it's really showing a lot of red, red meaning Trump country, compared to blue. But we have to keep in mind that some of the states with the biggest electoral counts, including California, have not shown up yet. And again, those seven, you know, states that are so important, the battleground swing states, those aren't in. None of those seven states are in.
You're right, Carol. That's true. And I think all Democrats are hoping that by the time the night is over, maybe tomorrow morning or so, there will be a change in the blue color on the map here. So hopefully that, you know, the Democrats are hoping that everything will turn out fine.
Right. And, of course, authorities have been on high alert for misinformation in many of the states across the country. The FBI had said this morning that a video purportedly released by the Bureau claiming that people should vote remotely because of high terrorism threats at polling stations was false. And then a second video containing a fake FBI press release and claiming that operators of some five prisons in several states, including Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, conspired with a political party and rigged inmate voting. And they said that's also false, that according to the FBI. So
We're seeing a lot of these reports that other countries, including Russia, have tried to influence the election and, you know, in kind of invading the country with these false reports.
That is so. And one thing I'm thinking, Carol, as the election process comes to an end, is that perhaps starting the next day, maybe Thursday, Wednesday, that Americans will begin to return to some normalcy, because this election cycle was, I think, it took a lot out of Americans. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Yeah, and, you know, we got to keep watching that, and we won't know, you know, for possibly days how this election is actually going to turn out. Remember, 4 years ago, we didn't even know what happened with the Biden-Trump election until 4 days later on a Saturday. So we have to keep that in mind. We do have one of our reporters, VOA reporter Shakur Abud, with the Swahili service with us, I believe. Shakur, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, excellent. I was beginning to worry that we wouldn't get anyone on the line with us. So, Shakur, what you've been covering this election closely. What have you been finding with people that you've been talking with in Africa, the Swahili service, and others? How concerned are they about the U.S. election?
Everybody is worried. Everybody is concerned right now. Everybody is on edge, looking like if Trump is coming back. Although there are also those who are supporting Trump. I discovered a number of people from Africa who are wanting to see Trump win again. So the feeling is mixed. But in many cases, people I talk here, I'm in Minneapolis, the people in Minneapolis as a whole, want the results to be finished early, because you have to remember that the governor of Minnesota is the running mate of Kamala Harris. So they are wishing that he wins so that they can have, for the first time, the state giving up their governor to the race in Washington. So the situation here is that everybody is very happy, everybody is anxious. And at the moment, actually, I tell you that I am a watch party for some African candidates here. And there's history going to be made, because the lady from Kenya, Hulda Helleth, who was running for a seat in the state assembly, looks like she's leading, and they're going to announce very soon. She will make history here.
In Minnesota, the upper Midwest state.
Yes, in Minnesota. She'll be the first Kenyan to win. If she wins, she'll be the first Kenyan to be elected to a national assembly in any state of the United States.
Well, that's,
so she will be the first woman. Yes.
That's very exciting. And that's also the state that the vice president's vice presidential candidate is from, correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's where the vice president candidate is. He's the governor, and they're going to make history. If he wins, the deputy governor is a Native American, so she will be the first Native American to be governor in the United States. So there is a history. There's an atmosphere of history being made in Minneapolis right now in Minnesota.
Yeah. And so you've been there for a while, for a couple of days in the Midwest there in Minnesota. Can you tell us, give us a little feeling for, you know, we've talked to a number of people who said they just feel fearful about this election, you know, how it turns out, no matter, you know, who wins, because they feel like there's this dark cloud over them, and they don't know how it's going to affect the country's future. They worry about the democracy, and we're supposed to be, you know, the bastion of democracy for the world. So have you talked to anybody about that?
Yeah, many of them are talking about that. People are worried about that. People are very afraid. They're using the same message that Kamala Harris has been saying. It's either choosing democracy or chaos. So that's the same feeling around here in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. You talk to many people, they're fearing that something might happen in the swing state. So there is an atmosphere of worry and fear in the whole area.
And so the latest numbers that we have showing up on the electoral map is 214 electoral votes for former President Trump and 179 for Vice President Harris, the Democratic presidential candidate.
Yes.
Okay. And we really thank you, Shakur, for joining us up there in Minnesota. That was a great report on what's going on there, and happy to hear about some diaspora candidates there in Minnesota. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And on the line with us now, we have Kwaku Nuama. He's an analyst at American University, political science professor. Mr. Nuama, thanks for joining us here tonight, especially when we've had some of these technical difficulties. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Great. Can you tell us, talking about America and Africa relations, you know, there could be a big change in the balance of power in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. It could go either way, they're saying. You know, right now the House of Representatives is controlled by the Republicans and the Senate, narrow majority with the Democrats. What would you say, you know, is important to remember when it comes to, if there is a change in the balance of power, when it comes to U.S.-Africa relations?
Well, Africa policy generally does not change from administration to administration because Africa is not really that important in American foreign policy. And we've also seen some bipartisanship. For example, if you take the Bills Act and Global Fragility Act, for example, both parties have tended to support those. So we're not going to see a lot of changes in the core policy. But areas where you will suddenly see some changes are in places like support for Africa's quest for Security Council seats, for example. If Harris wins or if Democrats retain the Senate, you can probably see some action on that. I don't think that Trump will push that. There a number of things are also coming up next year. So the Africa Growth and Opportunities Act is about to be reauthorized with Donald Trump promising this huge global tariff war. I don't think that he's going to support giving Africa tariff-free access to American markets, which is what AGOA does. Also, the president's emergency plan for aid relief, PEPFAR, is also coming up for reauthorization. And even if it's reauthorized, Republicans are likely to reimpose abortion-related restrictions, which will make it hard for African health service providers to access that money. And then we also have temporary protective status for five African countries. That's coming up. Four of them are coming up for renewal just next year. And this is the law that allows citizens from various African countries that have wars to remain temporarily in the United States. I don't think that Trump or Republicans are going to pass that easily. And then, of course, there's always the possibility of Trump reimposing his Muslim immigration ban, which affects many Africans. So it matters who holds the Senate. It matters who holds the House. But more importantly, the White House is going to set a tone. And I think that if Trump gets in there, it's not going to be very, very, very great for Africa. But he is very transactional, and he may, you know, take a different view of this once he's sworn in.
Professor Nuama, this is James Botti. As we watch the results trickle in, is there anything that surprises you at all?
Well, I'm shocked that Donald Trump seems to be doing very well in the seven battleground states because that was not what the polling has suggested. But by and large, the places where he was expected to win, he's won, and the places where Kamala Harris was expected to win, she has won. So it's a battleground state that we have to watch. And so far, she's only winning one out of the seven, which is Virginia. But it's early yet, and maybe things will change. We've also seen a lot of young people that came out to vote. That was surprising. Donald Trump has won with whites without college education. That was predictable. In places like Arizona, we've seen proposals to essentially legislate protections for abortion rights have passed. And so we'll see if that carries over to a win for Kamala Harris. In other places, we think that people are splitting the votes. So in North Carolina, for example, the Democrat has won the governor's race, but it appears as if Trump might win the presidency. So it's a whole lot of things that's happening. I'm not sure how things are going to turn out. But
okay.
So far, it looks as if he's going to win. He's going to probably sweep the battleground states.
Thanks, Professor Nuama. That's Kwaku Nuama, who lectures on international peace and conflict resolution at American University here in Washington. Let's turn to Trump headquarters in Florida, where Carolyn Pursuti is standing by in West Palm Beach, not far from Trump's residence, Mar-a-Lago. Carolyn, we're so glad we finally got you on the line. What's the mood like at Trump headquarters now that the polls in the states have closed and numbers right now look pretty good for Trump?
Really has been. About half an hour ago, this room just kept erupting in cheers when each state seemed to be going to Donald Trump, right? And now they're just all standing watching the television, and they're waiting for Pennsylvania to be called. They're waiting for more of those sweet states to be called. It's still a very upbeat news, though. Everybody is overall optimistic. There are probably 500 people inside this convention center watching enormous, enormous jumbotron with various networks on, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. They keep on rotating between the networks, giving the updates, and you'll hear the cheers or you'll hear the boos, whatever
right.
They show on these streets. But when you talk to people, they're adding up numbers. They're saying almost 270, not quite. I think we'll have it tonight, and everyone I've talked to says, yeah, I think we're going to have an answer tonight. I'm not so sure about that myself. We'll just have to wait and see.
Carolyn, what was Trump doing today? Any campaign events for him today, the last day?
No, he did vote today because, you know, we're about 2 kilometers away from his home, Mar-a-Lago. We are currently in Palm Beach County, and he votes in West Palm Beach at his precinct. And when he voted, he did speak to media, and he basically said, I think this was my best run. This was my best campaign of all three, the first one being when he was elected. And he beat Hillary Clinton, and the second one when he was beaten by Joe Biden, current president. And then this third one when he is running against Kamala Harris, he said, this was definitely the best one for me. And then he said, I haven't written a speech. He said, I am going to go off the cuff. I'm going to go impromptu. I don't know what I'm going to say tonight, which is surprising, not knowing which way tonight would go. Maybe thinking, I don't want to prepare three speeches. I'll just roll with the punches. So he has been at a private party right next door to us, has yet to make an appearance here before this crowd. But I expect him to... When things start to close or make themselves known a little bit more with the numbers, we expect it to be an appearance by the former president, whether it's to say, okay, the numbers are in and I've won, whether it's to say, we'll be back tomorrow, or whether it's to say, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know, but certainly expect to be an appearance. Everyone here in this room expects.
Okay, Carolyn, thanks. It sounds like the noise is drumming up in that room. So thanks for the live reporting. Let's go to Harris campaign headquarters now at Howard University here in Washington. We do have White House Bureau Chief Patsy Whitaker-Squire on the line with us. Patsy, the latest polls show a shift toward Harris in the past week or so in three swing states, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Trump, on the other hand, has forward motion in three other swing states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. No shift that we've seen in North Carolina, that seventh state. What are Harris supporters telling you tonight, and how does the energy feel like in that room?
Well, the energy right now is not a room. It's an outdoor watch party. So, you know, there's about 2,000 people here. Earlier in the night, you know, they were dancing, there was music, there was a lot more laughter. But I think around 10 p.m. or so, about an hour and a half ago, the mood is starting to become more subdued. There's definitely less dancing, less laughter as people are watching on the Jumbotron, and then the networks begin to call state after state for Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying that people are giving up, but certainly the mood has dropped a little bit. And just a couple of minutes ago, we received an email from the campaign manager, the Harris campaign manager, Jennifer Jen O'Malley Dillon, saying that we all know that this is always going to be a razor-thin race. The closeness of the race is exactly what we're prepared for. And then they also said that, you know, they've known all along that the clearest path is 270 votes lies through the blue wall states, the states that you mentioned, Michigan, Wisconsin. in Pennsylvania, although it's of course uncertain whether Harris will still be able to win there. The thing that is also important to underscore is that Ben O'Malley Dillon, the campaign manager, said it will be a while before we have more information from states like Nevada and Arizona, and this race might not be called tonight. So they're definitely not expecting this to be called tonight. They said it takes time for all the votes to be counted. And, of course, one big question is whether or not Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will make an appearance tonight at the watch party. I mean, at this point, the estimation or the expectation is that, you know, unless there's a clear win, then Harris and Walz is not going to make an appearance. But we'll see. I think people have not lost hope entirely, even though there's definitely less joy and less optimism here at the Harris headquarters.
Well, this is James Bote. Did the vice president do any campaign event today at the headquarters?
No. So right now, Vice President Harris is at her residence at the Naval Observatory. We are expecting that she was going to come here and deliver remarks at some point, but that is not confirmed. So it's still in flux right now. We don't know whether she's coming or not.
Okay, thanks, Patsy. We really appreciate it. That's Patsy Wittek-Kuskwara. She is our chief White House bureau chief at the Harris headquarters here in Washington. One of the swing states that both former President Trump and Vice President Harris have crisscrossed repeatedly is Wisconsin. In the upper Midwest, VOA's Kane Farabaugh is in Wisconsin, the state capital, Madison. He joins us now. Kane, what can you tell us about which issues are important to Wisconsin voters that you've talked to? Is Kane there? Can you hear me, Kane? I guess Kane cannot hear us. Maybe he can join us in a few minutes. Anyway, let's give a latest electoral count vote with the U.S. election map. According to VOA, we have 230 confirmed electoral votes for former President Trump. And the number just jumped a little bit for Vice President Harris, and she's got 187. The magic number, of course, is 270 votes. And that's when there will be a winner that will be called in this race. It may not happen tonight. It may not even happen tomorrow. We just don't know yet. Do we have Kane yet? No, I guess we don't. So, James, you're there with me still, right? James?
Yes, I'm here. And I get that we can start to wrap it up now. For more updates, please check voaafrica.com and voanews.com. And we'll be back live on air with more election news at this time tomorrow. That's all. And thank you for joining us.
You are listening to The Voice of America. On behalf of James Buddy, I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Join me for the latest in health news, wellness tips, medical breakthroughs, and much more. Our experts inside the United States and beyond will share some insights on living a healthy life. Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.